Okay, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Lovely day here in Hawaii, May. We are up and running, and we will be right back in a few seconds here.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Okay, we're back, and thank you for joining us. This is the Carol Cox Show on KWAI here in Honolulu, 1080 AM. And so a lot of things we're going to talk about. And last week and a couple days I was absent because I had some things that I was looking at and also just had a conflict of scheduling. So we're back and we'll be here for as long as time allows. So many things to talk about, and I told you about two weeks ago that we were looking at the Department of Land and Natural Resources. And let me make something very clear, especially to the administration of Department of Land and Natural Resources, Suzanne Case, Dan Dennison, Robert Farrell. Let me make something very, very clear. This shenanigans that you pulled where you went to the TV stations to try to encourage them to not deal with me or do stories with me, that won't fly, and you are a state agency, and you're state employees. If we file reports that simply is not to your liking, but factual and truthful, then you don't have the right to run out there and then attack us or lie about us, the media. And you can do it if you wish, but there will be consequences, and we're not going to shy away from those. So I shared with you, we had a situation where Mr. Farrell, Robert Farrell, the chief of the enforcement branch, I don't know what tyrannical tactics that he think that we will ascribe to, but let me remind you, you work for the government, and we have a right to ask questions of you. And if you don't want to answer them, go find another job. And you might wish to keep your tactics and your bullying tactics, but at least you'll be doing it on your private time. So recently I shared with you that Mr. Farrell wrote a very nasty letter with many false allegations because I did a story, and he qualified it as saying that I drew, quote, first blood. This is the kind of person this man is. This is the verbiage he used, that I drew first blood, so therefore he has a right to become attack me or falsify things or insinuate falsifications. But here recently, we just did a story, and with the song, the same tenor and the same tone, there was a posting on Hawaii News Now, the story, and that's going to be the thrust of what we're talking about this morning anyway. But for example, it indicated that it's a make-believe web Facebook account, and it states that Carol Cox should not believe and Hawaii News Now should not believe him and participate with him. Basically, I'm paraphrasing. And that that I was fired and arrested from Cal Fishing Game. So this is the kind of tactics that we see, and it's consistent with his letter that he wrote. And then if you think that it works, then you are the fool of the century. And I ask that publicly, Suzanne Case, you have an obligation to make sure that whatever your intentions are, your strategies are, is to prevent this kind of behavior on part of your appointed and selected administrators. Having said that, if you think you have discouraged me and you will encourage or intimidate me, I think you better go back and look in the science book and see there's also the opposite of everything that you would think exist. And so that's all I have to say to you on that. If it continues, I'm continually documenting, and I'm continually excited to even look deeper to find out what challenges and what the ethic challenges that you face there as a team and a group of people that seem to think that it is not the people's government, but it's your government. And we will continue to watch that. And if you think I'm just blowing hot smoke, just know that anything you throw out there, it has to be factual. And even then, it better be relevant. I'll take my lickings as you dish them out, but it must be relevant and it must be factual. So, but you probably just saw a story that I participated in and contributed to on Hawaii News Now. And we told you about this. The base at Kaneohe Marine Base is where this thing plays out. And also at the Kalani Moku building right here in Honolulu, the State Department of Land and Natural Resources. And it involves, and some of you may have seen it, saw the story. And this story is that there are jet skis involved and a memorandum of agreement or understanding or MOO. You will use the term loosely, and I may misspeak, but it's the same agreement between the United States Marine Corps base there at Kaneohe. And it's actually the... It's agreement between the Department of Land and Natural Resources, and it's an MOU M003818-09-B-16-001, and it's a DOD. Now, the Department of Land and Natural Resources protect, and they're legislative responsibility is to enforce conservation laws and protect and advocate for the environment and make sure that we do the best in the management and protecting of these species out there, the land, water, air, and its flora and fauna. So in order to do that, you have to use equipment such as jet skis and boats and all the other apparatus that comes with it. And you do that because you have people poaching turtles, you have closed areas that you must patrol, and in the process, you also, parks, state parks, and flotillas, and offshore, and state waters. So you need jet skis. It's become one of the most useful tools in rescuing people that probably the best thing since cotton candy. But this situation here is that there's so many pieces to it that I want to be careful and not confuse you. And if I do, just know that it's not intentional. It's just so voluminous, and the things there are. So this memorandum of agreement. And it was this particular one is dated. It's an amendment, 25 January 2018. The annual review of the Memorandum of Understanding, DODI support agreements. A review of the MOU was conducted by the Support Agreements Office to verify if there were any changing conditions that need to be updated in the subject agreement, in accordance with reference A. The tenant reviewed the MOU, and no changes were submitted to the Support Agreements Office. Now, the tenant would be the Department of Land and Natural Resources. There are no changes to the support, as stated. This MOU is for staging, and this is critical, and please listen to this. It'll pay dividends later on in the understanding of what you are witnessing, how you witness the abuse of authority, abuse of power, and abuse of the pen, the ability to administratively, selectively choose who, if your employees, what employees you will persecute and which ones you will contribute and congratulate for their wrongdoing, supposedly. So this MOU is for staging DLNR patrol boat, singular boat, and two jet skis at waterfront ops. There are no permanent personnel physically assigned to work at MCBH. That's important. There's no reimbursable support provided to the tenant under this MOU. This MOU will be reviewed annually, and the agreement may be reviewed and amended at any time if changes are required. And that's for that one. Now we move on here. This is a memorandum of understanding between the Marine Corps and the United States Department of Land and Natural Resources, the State Land and Natural Resources, for the staging of a DLNR patrol boat and two jet skis aboard Marine Corps Base Honolulu or Hawaii, Kaneohe Bay, when referred to collectively, the term parties, quote, include MCBH and DLNR. The background. This MOU replaces the DLNR-MCBH MOU that was signed on 19th May 1997. Goes way back. Contrary to what Mrs. Case and whoever wrote their press release and what has been disseminated publicly in the last couple of years, this memorandum of agreement is started in 1997, involving recreational vehicles on the state of Hawaii waters in the near shore bay, Kaneohe, is primary responsibility of the DLNR. The purpose. This purpose formalizes a relationship between Marine Corps based Hawaii and DLNR for the support of DLNR at MCBH. MCBH will provide berthing for one patrol boat. See the emphasis now. There's no Mickey Mouse monkeying around with this. It's very specific language. One patrol boat and two jet skis. This is the third time now I've read this to you, and it indicates one boat and two jet skis. And this is critical. The jet skis at waterfront operations, this may be in the form of a slip, a buoy, anchorage. Also provide parking space for one vehicle and a trailer. Provide base access passes for patrol boat crew if required. State of Hawaii DLNR will be responsible for damages, injuries, and what have you. So now I'm skipping through this. The state shall not request a United States of the Department of the Navy or MCB Hawaii to indemnify the state for or hold the state harmless from any claims for such damages or injury that may occur. Vehicles, hand-carried items, and persons are subject to search upon entering, exiting the installation. Random searches are conducted at gates during increased security or force petition or protection and conditions when deemed appropriate by the commanding officer. Provide vessel registration numbers to waterfront ops officer for vessels stored at the waterfront office. These are conditions of this MOU. Reimburse MCBH for any loss or damage of the... DLNR's financial obligations and commitment to make payments or reimbursement of any kind under this shall be contingent upon availability and allotment by the Director of the Department of Budget and Finance and Public Funds to the Department of Land and Natural Resources. Conduct singular operations. Navy, 3261, Navy and Marine Corps vessels and personnel will not participate in boating safety patrols or search and rescue patrols initiated by DLNR. So this memorandum of agreement of understanding is very specific, and for a reason. This is one of our major military bases, and there's matters and activities and things that goes on there that we wouldn't want to have it dispersed recklessly, or activities, whatever the military do, there's a need for secrecy, and it does not believe that it wants to be reckless and invite DLNR in, and then in turn at the risk of bringing in other people that have not been cleared, because many classified activities occur there. You know, I'm not going to preach it on that, but it's, you get the gist. Navy and Marine Corps vessels and personnel will not participate in law enforcement activities. Violations of the safety rules, boating casualty reports, and investigations will be referred to the 14th Coast Guard District. General provisions. Review of agreement. This MOU will be reviewed annually on or around the anniversary of its effective date for any changes. Modification. This agreement may only be modified by mutual written consent. We didn't find any. Termination of agreement. This MOU may be terminated at will by either party by giving at least 90 days written notice to the other party. The MOU may also be terminated at any time upon mutual written consent of parties. Transferability. Important here. This agreement is not transferable except with the written consent of the parties. So if you bring in activities inconsistent with the original agreement, then you know what it just said. Not transferable. You can't transfer this MOU to others or you, in any form or fashion, in my understanding. Effective date. This MOU takes effect on the day after the last party signs. And in this case, the last party that signed was was Suzanne Case, chairperson, and she signed it on 1/12/17. So all parties involved are aware of what is agreed upon and what the purpose is, and I think it's very kind of the Department of Land and Natural Resources to go there to the and also be a recipient of this wonderful treatment on the part of the Marine Corps to appreciate the need to have quick response to conservation violations and patrol. And it just makes it easier. The military deserves a few pats on the back for availing their space or their base to accommodate this and participate in the protection of our resources. Hey, it's kudos. But then the weevils get into the wheat, as you know, always. It's always a concern. If you leave your cornflakes on there, or if you're out camping, your pest's going to infiltrate and consume or contaminate your food. And I don't know why it is that people just can't be honorable and just operate from this formal agreement. A lot of ink was wasted and a lot of paper was used to print this, and a tree gave its life for this conservation effort. And the military was, again, accolades. They deserve everything because you're a military base. And the less coming and going of civilians and all uncontrolled or that you're trusting introduces or minimizes the risk of leaks or spying or whatever. You know, I mean, spies work in many wonderful ways. So, having said all of this, there's a game warden named Patrick Chong Kim, and I'm sure he's listening because I've gotten a call from someone asking me, why did I investigate this? And you must understand, my heart, my soul is about conservation and protection of the environment. I respect that. That's my religion. So that's why, if you want to ask again, that's why I do this. And that's why I was looking into this, because something just didn't smell right in Denmark. So we know that now we got the boat and the permission to store a boat there and two jet skis. But who's using them? Well, who are the personnel? Well, we find out that Patrick Chong Tim, a conservation officer, and we'll give his title later because he has many titles, and one has been placed on him by, I guess, Suzanne Case or Ed, or Robert Farrell. Who knows where he got his titles from, but they publicly state that his title is lead instructor or something. So Mr. Patrick Chong Tim, in the normal scheme of things, as expected through this MOU, the game warden assigned to that district, or for what, having the right to, or being dispatched there to patrol or what have you, has access to the base, and as a courtesy, they pull up to the gate. They have a badge on the side of the truck. They are wearing a uniform, should be, and they have their badge and they have their ID. And as a courtesy, they wave them in because, you know, you should have been vetted and all, so that's the trust. Again, accolades and kudos go to the military for accommodating this process. So Mr. Pat Chong Tim is supposed to go to the base, go get the water skis accompanied by another officer, and maybe there might be three or four in one truck, or two trucks, or three trucks. And they're going to go to the place where the waterfront's ops, or they stored it at the environmental department. And they're going to go there and pick up the jet skis and the boat, launch them, and go on patrol. How easy is that? How wonderful is that? How accessible this big wide ocean that we, this massive task that we have, and the military accommodated you to make that easy. You don't have to launch a boat at the pier where the average Joe launches, or drive it all the way from Hawaii Kai or whatever, you know. It was a convenience. So that's the way it should have played out. Now, Mr. Patrick Chong Tim, game warden, active duty, opens a business. And that business, and apparently it's, and I want to be very accurate here, the name of the business, as per the Articles of Incorporation at DCCA, Department of Customer and Consumer Affairs, Department of Commerce and Consumer Affairs, I'm sorry, the name of the company shall be I Water Man Pacific LLC. The name of the state and county of incorporation of the company's registered agent. The registered agent may be an individual who resides in the state, a domestic entity, or a foreign entity authorized to transact business in the state. The name of the company's registered A domestic entity or foreign entity. The name and of the company's registered agent in the state of Hawaii is Patrick Chong Tim. Now, if you go to the website, and we don't know if this is the same one, it's iwaterman.com is the website, and they were advertising. And they do a good job, the DLNR was quick to respond to inquiries, that they do a good job and they give free training to the state. But what happened, you understood the memo and of understanding and agreement was that only two jet skis and one boat was to be stored or moored or anchored at the Ops or Marine Corps base. Somehow, other jet skis found their way under the watchful eye of, to be stored and used under the watchful eye of Mr. Patrick Chong Tim. If you were to go to the website, iwaterman.com, you will see, you will see a picture, unless they've taken it down, and I'll explain why they may have taken some or all of it down. I don't know in the last hour I checked, but Patrick Chong Tim is also shown as a owner or I don't know what he is part of that company in reality, but on the documents here, he says that he's an agent for the iWaterman Pacific LLC. Now, I didn't stop there. The other thing is he has founded another company called Ma'a Academy. And same address, and Ma'a Academy is you can go and read what he explains that he does or do or intend to do. His annual filings those are the articles of incorporation that I read you first. Then the annual report for this that was filed, we'll say 3-8-2018, indicates the name and registered agent and the registered agent street address of the place and business of Hawaii, person which service of process and other notices, and that goes to Mr. Patrick Chong Tim. Now, if you can try to figure this out with me, because I'm still perplexed as to why Suzanne Case and Robert Farrell and Mr. Dan Dennison and anybody else involved in this cover-up that would have responded the way in which they did. You see, I have knowledge that within the agency there is efforts to behead some of the officers or just downright disrespect their rights and treat them unkindly and just harsh as hell, as you can imagine. And yet, when situations develop like this or exposed, you see Suzanne Case and the remainder of the administration under David Ige tend to favor or conceal, do whatever it is to conceal the behavior. Now, there were inquiry asking questions regarding this on the 14th of this month. They responded. The DLNR has been made aware of allegations that one or more employees may be employed by the company known as Waterman. Well, isn't that funny? Has been made aware of allegations. Well, let me get this right. When you use the term was made aware, you have a requirement that if you have outside employment, you must file it with your administration. You must file it annually. You must describe in some particulars about the business itself. And yet, all that they could do in this cover-up mode and shielding and deflecting is to say that it has been made aware of allegations that one or more employees may be employed by the company known as Waterman. iWaterman, well, that's between them and iWaterman. That's a whole different discussion. But carrying on with this response that they wrote, they being DLNR. DOCARE has a policy that requires employees to report their outside employment activities. This is to ensure that activity poses no conflict of interest and that management is made aware of the activity. Now, that sounds good. That sounds like they went to church yesterday and found the Holy Ghost and just, you know, that kind of good old spiritual motivation to tell the truth and don't conceal anything from God or the people. But we're verifying that our employees completed that requirement. What the hell you mean you're verifying? You should have it on file or you didn't. And when you say you're made aware of allegations, what are you talking about? You promoted this man to a position as the head instructor of your water rescue jet ski operation just recently. But we'll move on. We are verifying that our employees completed that requirement. If employees are found to have violated that policy, appropriate actions will be taken. Well, I guess for some they should have put in there appropriate actions where we will cover it up and conceal it from the public. But that's okay, too. We're not going. But if it was somebody else, Officer B and C, oh, my God, they're going to be put on suspension, threatened with firing or fire. But if you're liked by this administration, these cover-up artists, then you'll do good, you see. But always remember, when someone let you do something that's illegal that will jeopardize them if it ever became to the surface, then you are going to be cooked toast. Your goose will get cooked. Just tell you the way the game's played. So if you fall for the okie-dokie today and you get yourself some favorites today, just remember tomorrow when they ask you to chew rocks for them, you better chew rocks or else your butt's grass. So, DOCARE has in fact implemented a new policy that is more comprehensive and has been actively working with the State Ethics Commission to ensure that we identify any potential conflicts of interest. What a bunch of hogwash. The man is a game warden. He works for you. He also hires, he owns part of the company of that iWater man. He's an agent for that company, which is a commercial operations, and so therefore he should have disclosed all of that in the beginning. If he didn't, then shame on you, administration, for not doing it. And I understand there's a move afoot where you have to declare it, and should have been declared all along. The training that his particular company provides is also valuable to our staff. You believe that? Now, the questions were, are you storing equipment belonging to others on the base? These are the kinds of questions we ask. Mr. Pat Tong Tim, Chong Tim, what is his status and whatever? Those are the kinds of questions we're asked. But did they answer them? At least one of the instructors is also a DOCARE officer. At least one. Now, come on. Let's be fair here. You know, show me both your hands, not just one. I know you're holding something behind your back, but don't switch hands on me. So with this one of ours, you know factually that there's two of them. You know that because if you went to the website like you should have and like he posted himself, you would have seen another game warden standing there in living colors with the uniform shirt on. Didn't take any gigantic investigative skills. And besides, remember, you had a requirement that he had to report it anyway. But then, this is our mama's favorite child. The others are to be treated like stepchildren. And what does that translate to? Unmotivated, demoralized people carrying badges and guns that they wouldn't give a damn about being motivated about a 500-yard net being trapping 20 turtles at one time or anything resourceful concerned. Because they know that any misstep that they make, they're going to get hammered, diced up, sliced up, fired, put through the ringer. But anybody that is favored, that's going to carry that ball, they will allow them to open a business, operate a business, in conflict with the MOU that they've signed, that the chairperson has signed between the United States government and the state government, and you look the other way. And then when you're asked about it, to be open about it, you dance around the issue. And at least one instructor is also a DOCARE officer. So when you say an instructor, what does that mean? And at least one of the instructors, is that an instructor for the commercial business that automatically the MOU, because this MOU came from the Department of Land and Natural Resources, so they had a copy of it, they knew about it, and Suzanne Case just signed it in December of 2017. So the officer also provides training as part of his official duties to other staff within the DOCARE. Use of DOCARE equipment and state time is authorized when conducting training for DOCARE. So in other words, there was some contention or some concerns raised that, well, this commercial company comes and trains civilians as well as non-civilians like state DOCARE, and they gratuitously or generously give DOCARE officers training. And one mention was about 25 hours of training per officer, this commercial company. So how is it that a game warden working for DLNR at Marine Corps Base Hawaii has that under his purview? And lead instructor of the squad that operate jet skis and what have you, how is it that he could sleep under the radar and no one ever noticed that, you're part ownership of this business here, huh, bro? Yeah, I am. How much money you make? Did you report that to us? Did you make that annual report? I'm just toying with you now, but again, I can't say that that conversation took place, but it should have. Not only should it have taken place, someone should have said, this don't smell right. Let me get this right. We have a formal agreement that is explicitly clear. No smoky lines, no foggy lines. It says two jet skis and one boat for the purpose of enforcing the law of conservation laws and to enable and assist you and accommodate you, making it convenient to be more efficient and effective and in the enforcement. But somehow that commercial element was introduced. Who amongst Robert Farrell, Dan Dennison, Suzanne Case would ignore such thing, would invite, would allow such a behavior to infect or infest this relationship that existed, and out of the kindness of the military, thinking that they were offering someone a hand, but instead they were getting it in the back. So we're not currently aware of any unauthorized use of DOCARE equipment associated with the company's activity. If, however, it is determined that either state time or equipment was used to conduct a private business, this would be a clear violation of state policy and appropriate actions would be taken. How, man, does that sound good? Now, that's what we need in government, someone that really going to stick it to you if you screw us as taxpayers. Now, let's just go back to sleep. Carol Cox is blowing hot smoke. He's sounding an alarm for nothing. But wait. The company conducts trainings in various locations, okay? Well, if they do, then did you get them a marine event permit? You see, because these permits are built into required for certain areas to protect the natural resources, keep ensure that if you're in shallow waters, you're not going to strike turtles and all. And these are endangered species, or monk seals could be resting on the beach or foraging, and you would have to do some kind of environmental assessment or review to see if this is. So let me get this right. the guy that would enforce that, that is a lead inspector, a lead instructor of this jet squad. Well, we'll call them the jet squad, or the mod squad, or the mob squad. I don't know what you call it. But, and the guy that enforces that is part owner of the company that, as they say, conducts training in various locations. The company is better able to discuss what permits or permission it has to conduct its business. No. You're the regulatory body. You're the issuing permit issuing authority. You're the one who's responsible for protecting the resources, not the company. The game warden is also should know it because he's actively operating as a game warden. See, I may sound foul-mouthed, but I think I'm capable of what might be sounding foul-mouthed and disrespectful and offensive. It's just because I know what the heck I'm talking about, and I know that we cannot tolerate this loose operation. And then when caught, you get this fancy deflection of an around circuitous way. Wrong. On the company's website, there are images that appear to be DoCare officers. Wow. On DoCare equipment. Wow. This is not DoCare endorsement of the company. Really? Keep that in mind, folks. This is not a DoCare endorsement of the company. Really? So, two officers standing there with uniforms on, one with the uniform on and the others riding a jet ski that says police, as we say in the hood, police. But anyway, you got that on there, and then it says, so, you know, well, anybody could want to be Barney Fife man for a day and put on a police sticker on a jet ski and all. No, it gets better. The jet ski has police on it as well as the officer on it, standing by it, and as well as, you see, every vessel in the state of Hawaii, watercraft or boat or what have you, however you want to categorize it, must have a registration number. And the registration number is blah, 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 589XS. XS is exempt state. If you don't believe me, go to the website and look on the, I think, HA589 and XS, and you'll see that it is basically inactive, registered to the state. The state doesn't pay any fees for it because, and that's why it says exempt state, CC, city, and county, XF, federal, exempt federal. So this is the kind of stuff that we see. So the company's website, there are images that appear to be. Now, come on, guys. You see, appear to be. You're the authority. You are the regulatory body. You are the supervisors. You're the managers. You're Robert Farrell. You're Suzanne Case. You're Dan Dennison. You look at that and you know that if it's not the official uniform, then you should be filing a complaint saying that someone is imitating a police officer. So, keep that in mind. We will be advising the company to discontinue use of those images. We will also continue to advise others on the proper use of our images in promotional. We didn't write you and bring this to your attention to be taught about what you're going to do. We want to know what you're going to do for this situation and the prosecution of this situation and not the cover-up of this situation. This wasn't a, hey, you, we got you where you're sticking the screw to the taxpayer. Oh, we're so sorry. We'll use smaller screws next time. No, we're not looking for that kind of reaction. We want clean government. We want protection of our resources. We want honesty. Now, mind you, you can see, if you understand any of this, you'll understand why Robert Farrell would be really motivated now to write Carol Cox and write on the Facebook and or get someone else or some just strange enough someone else would take on the same diatribe of, the sputum that he's spewing consistently. And you would think someone would say, wow, Mr. Cox, thank you for bringing this to our attention, because, you know, we look quite stupid or quite illiterate or quite crooked if we don't do something or we overlook this, because we have them required to respond, and we have a federal agreement with the federal government who's been so nice to us. Thank you, Mr. Cox. No. Carol Cox was arrested and fired from Cal Fish and Game and arrested. You see? Kinds of go out the way to lie. It's comical, folks. But I'm doing this to share with you, not only is your government dysfunctional, it's dishonest. And so you heard me talk about that, read you their response. That was the first response now. And you say, we will also continue to advise others of the proper use of the images. We will advise, then the company conducting training in various, the company is better able to then. On the company's website, there are images. The DoCare officer endorsement is endorsement of the company, is not an endorsement of the company, okay? Keep that in mind. It's not. The images are not an endorsement. But real quickly here, out of all that safe talk and being navigating the minefield of ignorance and of crooked government, here's another press release. Now, they're not, this, mind you, they told us we're not, this is not an endorsement of the, well, these officers standing there is not an endorsement of this company. But here's a press release that you can go and look to the DLNR's website and find on that website as recent as 6/15/18, a press release. Now, mind you, they're not endorsing this company in their earlier statement. World's top watermen training state conservation officers this week. iWaterman provides elite level jet ski rescue training. In preparation for expected July 4th flotilla of Waikiki, five DLNR Divisional Conservation and Reinforcement DoCare officers are engaged in a week-long jet ski rescue training course. Over the past few years, DoCare officers, along with people from multiple partner agencies, have rescued dozens of people who've been unable to reach shore during flotillas due to alcohol use, improper flotation devices, exhaustion, and changing of ocean condition. Yeah, then now that's good. That's good. Save a life and get a pat on the back. This month, DoCare established a new marine enforcement unit on Oahu, provides specially trained officers dedicated to marine resource protection and safety. DoCare officer Patrick Chong Tim is DoCare's lead operations trainer. Now, they didn't tell us that when we got the first questions that we asked. You see, they just told us that they were there working. Didn't tell us, and there were some concerns that maybe state workers were involved, you see? But they knew this. They knew what was going on. But hold that thought. We got lots more, and I want to share with you the crooks and turns and how the crooks turn. And that's it. I mean, if you want to continue to hear, our resources are so fragile. Our resources are so so rare. We're losing these species, and we need several million dollars to protect these species. But meantime, give us some more money so we can squander it and pay our friends and do whatever and turn the other way and look the other way. Because we don't have an obligation to you. We have an obligation to ourselves. You see, our agenda is more important than the people's agenda. The Department of Land and Natural Resources exists because the people felt that it was necessary, and the people felt that this was one of the best ways to manage its interests and protect and preserve its interests. it wasn't set up so people can get into the government and abuse it and steal from us. But apparently someone missed the memo. We'll be back. This is the Carol Cox Show. If you want to listen to the podcast, carol at carolcox.com.
Save you 15% or more.
Companies might deliver a lot of hay.
Zipper.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Oh,
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Just a little bit of respect. Aretha Franklin, I won't try to sing. Anyway, that is just absolutely the tone of this conversation. And speaking of tones and what have you, a sad note, our dear friend John Nolan passed. You may have read it and what have you, unfortunately. And he will be sorely missed. I do recall the many conversations we had on air and what have you, and in the coming weeks, or here in a couple of days, I'm going to try and post some, because he was a good man, and I just enjoyed immensely talking to him. And he was excited, and just recently he was talking about putting together another show, and inviting me to join him. So, unfortunately, the occasion that unfolded, just not good. So, we'll keep you posted and keep your good thoughts about him. And he was a good man. So, anyway, he'll be sorely missed. I know I will be missing him. So, anyway, we'll salute him later as well. Play some good music one day, come in, and he also loved the music. And one thing about John, he had everything primed and ready to go. Whether it was hand claps, it was all computerized and quite impressive. So if you ever had a chance to meet him, you've met a good person, I can tell you that. And it's unfortunate that he, young, 60 years old, I can say that he should have been, could have, would have lived longer. So anyway, we'll miss John, and we'll try and play some music one day for him, and maybe play a couple shows back that we had with him. So anyway, this is the Carol Cox Show, and we were talking about asking questions, basically, and trying to make some sense of this ski-doodle or ski-daddle jet ski finale over there at the Department of Land and Natural Resources. Now, you know, I left off talking about the press release, that the second response to the media that the DLNR issued regarding the jet ski matter at Kaneohe Marine Base. So this letter goes on, this press release goes on to say, I, Waterman, founded by world-renowned ocean rescue experts Brian Kialana and Archie Kalepa, provides the week-long course with 25 hours of on-water training free of charge to DOCARE officers. Keone Downing, who's also a well-known Hawaii waterman, and is a member of the State Board of Land and Natural Resources. He is quoted, the state DLNR and DOCARE are extremely fortunate to have training from a group of experts who are literally known around the globe for pioneering open ocean jet ski rescue techniques. Kialana of Waterman added, we are pleased to offer our training at no cost to DOCARE officers, as we understand and appreciate their critical role in ocean safety and enforcing laws that are designed to keep all ocean users safe and to provide efficient rescue when needed. iWaterman, founded about 5 years ago, has trained dozens of professionals from the government agencies, such as rescue personnel of Honolulu, Maui, and Kauai fire departments, ocean safety organizations, and many others, public-private sector groups that require elite-level advanced rescue training. The training is combined with ocean risk management. Kialana commented, our program focuses on developing and fully testing jet ski driver skill sets and the ability to adapt to adverse conditions, especially extreme water conditions and high surf environments, like those found here in Hawaii's island. Kialana and Kalepa are two of the innovators of jet ski rescue as they develop and set standards for lifeguards and surf rescue more than 25 years ago. And, you know, one portion of this, I have to agree, when you meet Brian and Kailana and Kalepa and others affiliated with that, even Keone Downing, fine people, absolutely. And unfortunately, they got mixed up in this on the doings of the state DLNR. By no choice of they, because I can assure you, what I know of them, they wouldn't even be remotely associated with this kind of behavior. Period. But the facts that exist that Farrell and Case allowed to develop their rules, if this kind of relationship that Patrick Chong Tim set up and using and circumventing the rules of the agreements of the MOU, that's on them, the four of them, or the Dennison and the four, whoever was involved, not Kailana, not Kalepa, not Keone Downing. But I guess, you see, that's why I'm all up in arms about this, because, you see, they'll use anybody and blindly lead them. As it's such a good thing. You're damn right, if there was a need for rescue, proven time and time again that it works. And worldly, it works. You see, you turn on the TV, any surfing, any water event, you'll see jet skis there, and they've incorporated those. So I think that Suzanne Case, instead of writing such circuitous and watered-down press release unassuming, I should say, of being responsible, instead of writing this garbage, she and Dennison and Farrell should have been apologizing profusely to Kailana and Kalepa and Downing. But instead, they will go further to impugn their integrity by saying that it is offered for free and it was a gift. And that's scary. It's frightening to the umpteenth degree. And the reason I say that is it's scary. I'm looking for one little paper here, but it's scary in that here's the situation. We have a state ethics laws that specifically speaks to gifts and the acceptance of gifts from anybody, not just jet ski operators and what have you, but from anybody. Now, how much is a jet ski training class that these people are giving free to the state DLNR game wardens? Did they get it authorized by the Ethics Commission? Did they get it, did they run it by the Ethics Commission? Is it consistent with the ethics rules and laws and gifts and what have you? So, it's troublesome. I'm going to take a break here. I want to find the actual document that I've misplaced, so we'll be right back. This is the Carol Cox Show. We'll hang in there.
With any
righty. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Found that document, and Mr. Marvin Gaye is not unusual. Sure is not. But anyway, here's some of the guidelines. And keep in mind, just because these guidelines are written, there's always an exception. And keep in mind, this is the state of Hawaii, and many of these people that render opinions are obscure, and I'm a concerned citizen. So, and knowing what business is, I would hate to have a climate that has been developed by Suzanne Case and Dan Dennison and Robert Farrell to, in the DoCare scheme of things, to sit up and go and take free gifts and not give other companies the opportunity to give free gifts. They may be giving free gifts too to get in and benefit. And to say that we're not questioning whether they believe they're benefiting the DLNR, here are some of the concerns. If DLNR is allowing any of these vessels owned by a private company to be stored at the military base, that's a violation of the agreement. It's a deviation, unauthorized, an informal deviation, and not allowed unless agreed upon by all parties. So having that, so that should be the reason to stay straight arrow, so to speak. They know that this memo existed, and then they should have vetted the officer, the game warden or the conservation officer, Patrick Chong Tim, and ask him, do you have any conflicts with this? Well, they knew that he, and should have known that he has this company, and it was registered some while back, you know, and he filed his original papers of articles of incorporation in 9/15/2017 at 10:08 a.m. So he should have, I mean, why else would you not? Mr. Farrell, I have some declaration I want to make. I know that maybe we're still deciding on which form to use in the report of outside work, but, you know, just consistent in being integral about this, I'm informing you, here's my formal notice, that I am the agent for a business called Eyewaterman, and Eyewaterman frequently, on many occasions, bring in people, civilians, and we're operating on a military base, and therefore we're storing their equipment on the military base. I'm in violation of the MOU, but that's okay. Do I get your blessings? And then you would hear Farrell, and you'd hear Dan Dennison, and you'd hear Suzanne Case to say all in one orchestrated voice, hell no. You and all the other activities that are inconsistent with this MOU, get the hell out of here and don't come back. Oh, and by the way, put your badge and gun on the table. Because we respect what the military has done for us. It enabled us immensely to perform our duties in the interest of the public and the resources. No exception. But you didn't get that. You got this colorful, and then you move on over to, I'm sure that they being Dan Dennison, Robert Farrell, Suzanne Case, went to this great length to get this press release out, to make themselves look good, to deflect from what was really playing out in the news. And Brian Kelana Kalepa would have no part of it. But what bothers me, and even Keone Downing would have no part of it. But what is troublesome, someone amongst Keone, who is a DLNR board member, in my opinion, and this is just my humble opinion, he should never have had any comments to that because he wouldn't know the full story. He did know the full story, and I've given that benefit of the doubt. Now, maybe he did. But I would not have availed myself to DLNR's staff or administration to say anything about this matter. Because getting a free gift. And what if this thing blows up or blossoms into a matter that presents itself before the land board? Well, it would exclude Keone Downing from participation. He'd have to recuse himself. Or worse yet, maybe there's a violation. But you cannot, we don't know. I can't tell you that this is a violation, taking free gifts. But it's worth asking the commission, the ethics commission, what if they would see anything in this that's inconsistent with law. So to openly say, start out saying we don't know anything about anything, and it's alleged that one of the workers are working for the company, we are currently unaware of any unauthorized use of DoCare's equipment. Forget the equipment. Just understand that the conflict of interest between Patrick Chong Tim, potentially, and the rules of the road, where if he is the enforcer, if he found one of those jet skis and he was not part of that team or the training or the, and he was just doing his job as a DoCare officer and was not an agent of the company, would he not enforce the law if he found them traveling through the area over by Hakapu'u and that area, which is there's prohibitions and having training without permits and what have you? Would he just straight, without being involved as an agent for the company? That in itself is still enough to choke a mule with, and just it's illogical. And it only serves to speak to the unethical manner in which this administration has tolerated nonsense and craziness and defrauding the public of what's rightfully theirs. And so it's something's wrong here. I mean, when you would take good people in, with their good name and incorporate them into defending you, when in fact you have an obligation to the public to do, to protect their interests up front, downstream. This is Brian Keolana, Kalepa, and Downing should never have been introduced into this situation, period. They had nothing to do with it. And if I saw a game warden with a gun and a badge and he pull up to the gate, and he was able to get through there, I'm respecting it. That's, I'm not going to ask him to do anything that outside of the law. And someone amongst the three of them, Farrell, Patrick Chong Tim, and Suzanne Case, felt that they had to, at the expense of the Keolana and Kalepa and Downing, to protect their own butts, they threw Keolana and Kalepa into the mix, wrongfully, improperly. I don't believe they deserve such a treatment. But then, when you're trying to hide things, as you are Suzanne Case and Dan Dennison and what have you. Now, I file a FOIA for this information, and I've yet to receive an answer. But they responded to the media. When I'm not media, I just have a radio show, and you know, but who is the government to define what media is? So we have some serious problems with this entire process, and I think that instead of going out, because why would anybody outside of DLNR, why would anybody have any reason to ask questions to if they were allowed to go on base? Because you would think DLNR would never subject anyone to such practices. Oh, come on, hop in the car, we'll take you on board, when they know that the agreement says is none of this nonsense is tolerated, is allowed. So the bad is on DLNR, not the company. And the company is only attached to it in the sense that Patrick Chong Tim, his role in that would be, because if you're invited, you're doing what you legally allow to. And then if the agency is advocating, saying what you do is good and we condone it, and well, what are you going to say? So I'm here to tell you that this should translate into, let me stop for a minute. We know under this administration, the Suzanne case and the Robert Farrell and the infamous Dan Dennison, they have perpetrated a process of a big lie on the public. Within this administration right now, there is a letter that I read to you 2 weeks ago about the cease and desist order issued by the union to Farrell for his actions. Then I brought to you another matter that is still in the air, where Wyatt Cam alleges civil rights abuse by officers of the DLNR, aboard the Wind Warrior, involving the flotilla matter. That goes unresolved. We have the workplace violence complaint that was issued, a ROPA was issued subsequent to an investigation and a review, and then Robert Farrell withdrew that and ordered. And by the way, Robert Farrell, he don't play, folks. I mean, this man, he acts swift. So because, and I told you about this, Guy Chang, who is a branch chief of the Oahu district, took action. Retrieved or took the gun and badge of an officer for workplace violence. Robert Farrell ordered it to be returned to him. And then Robert Farrell proceeded to interrogate and discourage and ask the officers that filed the complaint to rewrite, suggesting they rewrite their complaint. And of which there is an audio recording of that meeting, so you could hear for yourself. So you have that kind of information. Then you have officers aboard the Wind Warrior who are afraid to speak out and tell, because they're afraid that if they speak out and tell what they saw aboard the Wind Warrior, if there and it relates to the abuse of the civil rights violation, as Wyatt Cam alleged, confirming that, they'll get fired and retaliated against by Farrell. This is the kind of tolerance, or the degree of tolerance, the level of tolerance that, under David Ige's watch, these are the people that can operate in such a fashion, untethered. So now Mr. Guy Chang files a complaint. The union is representing him. Now there's another officer, and there's some suspicions occurring. An officer had some indiscretion, a moment of indiscretion or what have you, and that officer now there's an active case in the courts, but they won't talk. They witness things, but they won't talk, because they know if they talk, they get the tongue cut out by Farrell. Is this the kind of government we want? And mind you now, we're just talking about conservation. We're not talking about dealing with Russian spies and spies from outer space. We're talking about something as holistic as, should be holistic, as protecting our natural resources and motivating people to do that and enhancing their ability to do that. But instead, it's an atmosphere of, if you step out of line, I have the authority unilaterally to, without consultation, to fire you for whatever reason. And then you see this kind of behavior. And then I'm told that in the matter of Kaneohe Marine Base, it has been efforts to conceal it, and it's consistent with what these letters are and these press releases have stated. So, ethically, I think this administration is bankrupt. So, and there's always an exception to the rule, so I don't want to lead you to think that just because I read something, it is the law. There may be an exception or exemption. But Hawaii Revised Statute, Section 8411, 8411 speaks to gifts. No legislator or employee shall solicit, accept, or receive directly or indirectly any gift, whether in the form of money, service, loan, travel, entertainment, hospitality, theme, or promise, or any other form of under circumstances in which it can reasonably be inferred that the gift is intended to influence the legislator or employee in the performance of the legislator's or employee's official duties, or intended as a reward for any official action on the legislator's or employee's part. The gift law prohibits legislator employee from accepting gifts if it is reasonable to interfere with the gift. So, now, I have to be careful and not sound like I'm suggesting that this is the fact, and this is the way it played out, and these are my statements with certainty. What I'm saying is that if there are rules that govern the activity of use of boats and jet skis and marine activity, on human activity in an area that's protected, and even if it's not protected, but the species and this activity is not conducive to or conflicts with the well-being of the environment or what have you, if you are part of a company, then are you guilty that you're also a game warden, and then you go out and then you bring your fellow game wardens to get overtime, that, or not just overtime. For example, last Monday was a holiday, and you heard that in this statement that they train 25, it says here, with 25 hours of water training, and they gave them that kind of time, right? So, if that's the case, 25 hours of Monday was a holiday, state holiday. It's generally known, observed, that you don't train on holidays because you end up with union fees or scales of day and time and a half, right? So, if in this press release they're saying this week they had a training for 25 hours, did these officers work on the holiday and get paid overtime when, in fact, it's inconsistent with policy or rules? And why is the taxpayer footing the bill? If it's free, well, you would think that the officers would voluntarily do it for free or get the training for free or something, right? So let's look at some things about behavior and the culture of what's transpired and how the distrust that is probably intensified amongst the federal government at Marine Corps Base Hawaii and the DLNR. If I was a federal government, employees and people associated with that management, I wouldn't have anything to do because with DLNR, because it's a betrayal. And if it wasn't intentionally, it's a system that's fragile, it's a system that's flawed, and it's a system that invites, with this kind of behavior, who wants these people to come around them when there are no checks and balances? When a state worker can openly serve in two capacities, open a company, be part of the company, be an agent, and then in turn violate the conditions of the memorandum of agreement in his capacity as a game warden, as well as the company. The company has no relationship formal agreement with the military. So basically, normally it wouldn't matter and that would be an excuse, but here is an officer or an agent of that company, Patrick Chong Tim. So if there are civilians that go aboard and the Kaneohe Marine Base or visit the Kaneohe Marine Base to participate in the training and launch from the area that they launch from on the base to do their thinking, military thinking, patrol. But no, they go patrol, the DLNR goes, no, slash patrol slash training. So, what about the coral reef that's found out there? Is this conducive to wise management of the coral reef? And these are shallow waters. What about the turtles that forage in there on the coral reefs and that are found and come low tide and what have you? Are these jet skis running over them? But one thing that really troubles me is that we talked about the classified nature of the activities going on over there on the base, which is their right to do that. You bring on civilians or foreign contractors or people that you've hired that that are not citizens, foreign nationals. You work and you invite people from countries that, and you're training them, and they all convene and converge on Kaneohe Marine Base, a direct violation. But also, how did they get on the base? They don't go through PMO, Provost Marshal Office. They don't have clearances, I'm told. So how do you suppose they get on base? Is it possible that someone amongst them that works for the DLNR, who has won the trust of the military, and the military, out of respect, waves them on through, flags them on through, because they have a gun and a badge and don't care and they stand for good. But some of their passengers are foreign nationals or citizens that have not been vetted or have a clearance to go on board the base. How do they do that? Well, if they do, then they're doing several things. One, they're either putting them in the state truck, which then uses state gas and state time to drive these foreign nationals or citizens or private citizens to go on board the base to meet the vessels to go get trained on. Two, they're either allowing private cars and they pull up and they tell the guard at the gate, oh, that Subaru, that Pontiac, and that Maserati there are with me. And they get waved through. Direct conflict with what the agreement is with the permit, with the MOU. Now, how would the military know that is going on? It says in there they must report any changes. They didn't make any changes. They didn't represent any changes. The tenant was supposed to notify if there were changes. No notification. So, I'm beating the wind out of this subject because I want you to get it. If it's worth going to these lengths and this circuitous way that Suzanne Case and Robert Farrell and the illustrious, the articulate Dan Dennison to go out and recruit a land board member to speak up and conceal your nonsense as if the public is supposed to gobble it up and go, oh, you have any more of this BS? It tastes good. Can you put just maybe another pound of that BS on top of this and throw in a little bit of, you know? No. This is BS from the start, from the end, beginning to the finish line, whatever. There's so many things that are bad about this situation. disrespect for authority, disrespect for the authority invested in you, disrespect for the badge, disrespect for others in government, disrespect for the public, and no respect for the environment. None. I don't even think the only time they noticed the environment, if the ocean dried up, they couldn't run their jet skis. So who's at fault here? Paula, go ahead.
Hello, I just a kind of a generic statement, but I think it might be relevant to your topic, and that is a retired military get on all kinds of boards and staffs for the politicians and the various...
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K1.
Hold on here, we're getting a bleed over here.
If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080, and now here's Carol.
What I was saying was that what happens, I know this in several instances, is that retired military get on all kinds of various political staffs and community staffs, and they heavily into the Chamber of Commerce, they get on school boards, and then, you know, you get to play golf on their courses, favors for favors. So I think what needs to be checked is how many retired military are on the various staffs that you know affect what's happening, because it is a huge thing. And but that's all.
Mm-hmm. Well, in this situation, I'd want to adhere to what the facts provide, and that is that we have a Department of Land and Natural Resources, no retired military. We have a situation where just the trust was breached by the military trusted someone, and they then took it for granted, and the trustee or whatever, the person.
Yeah, well, I just meant that as a generic statement.
Oh yeah, and I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
It's a huge thing.
And I agree with you that wholeheartedly, and I also have a bug in my bonnet because the mayor and the governor always they make sure people from their office serves on the neighborhood boards and all of that, and they control and contain. So you're right, and they contain the narrative and dictate.
Yes.
So, but any specific comment about this situation, I'm trying to be careful and not to just be my values.
So I'm going to hang up now because I was listening to it off and on. I got some other things going on, so I didn't hear the whole thing, but I got the gist of it, and... you know, what is wrong, and it doesn't change, no matter if they get away with it or they make it legal or illegal. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And so that's the big picture, and it is, it's disgusting.
Yeah, it is. It's our resources, it's our interests, and they're squandering.
Yeah. And the thing is, our taxes pay for it all.
Yes,
So we're enabling it. We're forced to enable it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, okay, thank you.
Okay, bye.
All righty. Well, you know, this matter gets funny because there is you get to sit back and see this. You get to see something that's really, it's comical and nightmarishly frightening at the same time. What have we evolved into? And that is, instead of reacting and saying this is wrong, like the caller just said, this is the mode right now. This is what they're doing, okay? And I'm not exaggerating. Farrell is in the mode of trying to figure out who told Carol Cox. Who talked to Carol Cox? Who somebody must have shared this information with Carol Cox? Now, let me tell you something. I don't appear to be the brightest person to people like Farrell. But if you're listening, Robert Farrell, no one told me about this. It was so blatant and disrespectful that a rock wall wouldn't have missed it. No one told me anything about this. Of course, after I became aware of it and understood what was going on, I then proceeded to ask questions to certify and qualify certain claims that some people were making. But I think that you have, it suggests that with the mindset that who told and you're going to get them and you're going to eradicate the rats, you must understand the big cat, if you don't get rid of him, he'll still be on your ass chewing at the doorstep trying to look to see what else you're doing wrong, because it's clear that you have no regards for or respect for the public. So don't try to figure out the rat. Try and figure out the cat and figure out how you can do right by the cat, and the cat will leave you alone. I'd go off and play with a ball of yarn and be as happy as any old fat cat. But, you know, to run around and then intimidate people and threaten them, well, if I find out, you're dead meat. You're fired. This is what's going on. I now have this new rule that I signed and submitted to the union, and the union didn't respond to me, but it's still law now, and I have the right to unilaterally fire your ass. This is the game. And I have no ill feelings against Robert Farrell, but we have some concerns here with what's so fragile. We have a natural resources that every day is stressed. And wouldn't it be nice to have a cadre of people that want to do their job? And if you don't think they want to do their job, then you need to train them. You need to get them on a one-on-one counseling and talk to them, and then so-called weed them out, but in a respectable, consistent with law process. But this pounding the table and I'm the boss, and I guess what I say goes, and then Suzanne Case chimes in and goes, "Hey, man, he's my man. I support him 100%. Well, it's not the support that you give him, Suzanne Case. It's the respect you give us. And you want to leave a legacy. And I think in all of this, from my point of view and my witnessing what's going on, here is a statement to most of you environmental organizations and environmental people. You didn't want Calvert Chang or Carlton Chang in because he would be doing XYZ. But you are not willing to hold Suzanne Case down because she is your, what, favorite person? She is doing more committing more egregious acts, I should say, toward the environment than any one person I witnessed in the total, combined with all of the chairpersons that have served here during my presence. She doesn't respond to you. She doesn't react to you. She has Dan Dennison to be the front door of the billboard and won't respond timely. Always some conflict. And yet, as soon as an article is printed or written or aired, then they have something to say. So, again, if you care about the environment, don't listen to me and think that I'm just a sore spot or have many sore spots with these people or upset with them. It's nothing like that. I'm willing to invest my time to watch to see what is taking place, and what I see is not nice. And I talk to 7-8 game wardens a day. And know that old lie about all of them are no good and I wouldn't hire them and they're rapists and this and that. Well, the biggest crime committed is the filling of the position and the willingness to, there's this move to try and get, Farrell is trying to get his California boys from, he's from California Fish and Game, and it's a funny thing, I chuckle, he says that California Fish and Game is the best, and if you want to see real game wardens, look at a California Fish and Game warden, you see. But then Carol Cox was a game warden. He says Carol Cox was a knucklehead, so you go figure. You know, there's something wrong here. And I'm entertained by, because that tells me I wouldn't be much more interested in any of this to the degree that I am if it were not for the antics and the behavior of Robert Farrell that where he has projected toward me. It's not taking it personal or being disturbed or bothered by his comment. It's an enlightenment to say what I'm hearing from the officers and the staff is confirmed by how he react to me and treats me or is try to sit and lie and attack and assault my integrity. So something's wrong, folk, and if we don't put a check to it, you're going to see one of the most corrupt agencies. It's in its infancy now. You think you've seen corruption. When you got people that can openly operate a business in direct conflict or violation of memorandum of agreements with the chairman and the federal government, and nobody ask any questions, and then when you are cornered and told about it, all that you can say is that it is alleged that when there are so many checks and balances that should have weeded that out, and if you didn't, you should have said instead of training people for jet skis, we've halted all training of jet skis, and we've now gone back to an ethics class, and we are now going back to reviewing the policies on people that withhold information that they are required to provide. So anyway, that's a it's a big subject, big topic, and I hope that you out there, the game wardens or the conservation officers that work for these clowns, hang in there. There's Tupola, there's John Carroll, there's Colleen Hanabusa that you can vote for. They're out there. Contact your legislators. I'm not going to lie to you. But contact your legislators and tell them, send these three people down the trail packing because they do not have the good and the interest for the people of this state or the natural resources, and they don't respect law or policy. It's their way or the highway. So we'll talk to you later next week, and we'll hang in there. This is Carol Cox. Go to carolcox.com, and we're going to do something with the blog here soon, and we'll announce it. But always just go to either KWAI in the future on the Internet and keep checking us when we have that blog. But we hope to build a pretty good system where you'd be in the know all the time. So take care, and thank you for listening. Aloha.